Seawolf auf Lux FM und das schöne Stückchen White Woods. Bei mir im Studio steht da schon James Keogh, better known as Vance Joy. Hello.
Hello, thanks for having me.
It's no problem. It's nice that you're back.
Yeah,
I'm visiting like us for the second time, right?
Yeah, it is. I kind of really loved coming here the first time, and the guy that interviewed me last time, yeah. I think it's Simon,
he
helped me up in the lift, I just remember all the faces, so it's nice
cool.
to be back.
Cool. No, well, we'll see if you still at the station after this interview.
I'm sure I will.
Yeah, I think so too. Before we start talking, let's listen to a song of yours so people get in the mood.
Let's get them in the mood.
Yeah, and so let's listen to First Time, eine aktuelle Single von Vance Joy vom aktuellen Album Dream Your Life Away. Gleich quatschen wir ein bisschen und wir verlosen auch Tickets für die Show heute Abend im Postbahnhof.
Come over to my house.
Ach, ist das schön. Vance Joy mit First Time auf Lux FM am Montagnachmittag. Heute Abend wird der studierte Jurist und trainierte Rugby-Spieler im Postbahnhof auftreten und dort seine Debüt-LP Dream Your Life Away vorstellen. Jetzt ist er erstmal bei mir und wir quatschen über die Schwierigkeit, überhaupt eine LP zu schreiben, wenn man vorher schon einen Welthit hatte. Wir finden raus, ob das Jurastudium auch beim Beurteilen seiner eigenen Verträge mit dem Musikbusiness nützlich ist. Wir sprechen über seine Liebe zum Film, andere Inspirationsquellen und viel, viel mehr. First of all, aber nochmal, welcome James Keogh, better known as Vance Joy.
Thank you.
So how are you doing? Where are you coming from today, Vance?
We came from Hamburg last night, mm-hmm. and we arrived this morning, and I went for a nice walk here today.
Oh, cool.
And I went and got some new runners, and I'm very happy. Mm-hmm. And got the show tonight, which is exciting as well. Last show of the European tour, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's all wrapping up
cool.
tonight.
So you're going back to Australia after this show tonight, or where are you going to?
I'm going back to Australia via America. We're going to America for 2 months.
Wow.
So a while away.
Motherfucker, busy man touring the world with his first record. So how's the Hamburg show been? The funny thing is that you're traveling kind of like on parallel routes with Death From Above 1979. They were in Hamburg yesterday and they're playing tonight in Berlin, and they visited me as well like an hour ago. So how's the Hamburg gig been?
It was great. It was really good room. Like the audience was really kind of quiet, like really listening. Mm-hmm. And you never know what people are thinking. When people are quiet, you think, are they enjoying themselves? Do they actually like this show? Do they want to leave? But then you actually realize that they're probably just quiet because they're listening, you know? So
yeah. I think silence is a good sign, actually, on concerts like this, because the worst thing that can happen is like all the people are talking to each other about something else and they're not listening at all. So
totally, yeah. If you got people's attention, that's the best thing. Yeah, what more could you ask for?
It sounds good to me. And your debut LP, Dream Your Life Away, sounds good to me as well. Congratulations on that album again. I asked myself how hard was working on that LP, knowing that Riptide had already become a huge hit and a huge hit worldwide. It was not like people in Melbourne were whistling along to that song and that was it. It was the whole world singing along. Yeah. So when you entered the studio in Seattle, did you feel any pressure, or did you think about trying to get to the success of Riptide or something like that?
I think it was luckily for me that I had about 5 or 6 songs that I'd already written. I had a bit to already work with in the studio. And it's funny, like, all you can really do is just write the songs that come to you. It's funny, as a songwriter, I think that you're almost like a medium or like a... Like, that sounds really wanky. That sounds like, I think, you know, you're special, you know, in some kind of, like, metaphysical way. But really it's like you're just channeling something. So like a song you get an idea or just by accident, and then you kind of bring the song into the world, and you just follow your intuition. It's like, it feels like the song should go this way. It feels like the song should go this way. So a lot of the time when you're writing songs, you can't really take too much credit for them. Mm-hmm. And so I feel that way about songs. Like when I write a song, it's like, I'm so lucky that this song happened, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel this accident happened. So in that way, it's like a lot of the responsibility for the songs is out of your hands.
Yeah,
you just write what you write. So I kind of got into that headspace in order to just kind of turn the volume down on feeling the pressure and just go and just write whatever songs you have to write.
Yeah, and it's an interesting approach on that problem, I would really think, because I agree with you that writing a song is most of the time just like, where did that idea come from? And then you start working on that, and you have to be a busy guy who wants to work on those ideas and then kind of like to make them a song. There's a lot of work involved, but the first steps, that's totally right.
I totally agree.
I don't know where they're coming from. Nobody knows.
No one knows. My mum sent me this quote from Leonard Cohen, and he said, if I knew where the songs came from, I'd visit that place every day. But I don't know where that place is, so I'm lost.
Yeah, and I think it's a good spiritual little corner that's left in the world without too many spiritual things that we're living in right now.
Yeah. Totally agree with you. It's like, it can never, if you put a constraints around a song, it's like that special magic can't live, you know? So it's like, it is a cool thing.
Yeah. You've been to Seattle to do the album. Why was that? Did you want to avoid distractions, or did you just want to go into the old school grunge?
I know. Actually,
have a look at those people.
It was probably neither of those things. It was really just the producer that we decided to work with. He was set up in just outside of Seattle, and we ended up spending a lot of time there. So it was good. I think I really enjoyed it. I'm sure that every recording experience is really different, and you kind of just grow each time you record something. You learn. You take the things you learned from that first time to the other experience, and you kind of just get more familiar with the whole process.
Mm-hmm. And Seattle was kind of like a healthy environment, obviously, for that record.
Yeah, I think it was good. I mean, God, it was like sometimes it felt like, you know, it could be frustrating, and we're stuck in this this particular place, which is it's like a ranch, almost like a farm. It's like and so you kind of get cabin fever. You're like you're actually in like a cabin kind of thing. It's kind of like quite rural. It was kind of like the woods, and we were kind of some days you're just sitting in the studio, and studios producing a song can be really boring. Like, you know, you get the first bits down, but then you're sitting there and you're like, you know, like get lunch, and then it's like 5 o'clock and you go,
we need 3 days for drum sound now. Please come back again on Thursday.
Yeah. It's like 12 hours later you get out of there and you say, oh God, I'm going crazy. So it is really, it's interesting. You get transported and you just, your conception of time kind of changes, and your reality is really confined to just like this little studio and like your bedroom and you know the little shop nearby where you get your coffee or something like that.
But I mean, that's an advantage of a Seattle studio in comparison to Melbourne, where you would leave the studio and people would be like, hey James, what are you doing?
Let's go some beers.
Let's go grab some beers, and then the whole process would be disturbed, right?
I think that is actually I never really think about that, but definitely, like, if you leave the studio in Melbourne, it's like you go and do something, but it is nice. You're staying within that little, whatever you're saying, like a little...
It's actually a universe, a small universe that you're not leaving anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's a really good description.
Cool. Also, wir haben gerade ein bisschen was gelernt schon von James, better known as Vance Joy. Er hat die Debütplatte relativ problemlos dann doch komponieren und schreiben und aufnehmen können, obwohl er diesen Riesenhit im Rücken hatte, weil er sagt, das Schreiben von Liedern ist so eine metaphysische Geschichte, die viel mit spirituellen Geschichten zu tun hat. Da sind die ersten Songideen, die kommen ja immer irgendwo her, man weiß gar nicht woher. Und wenn man das so betrachtet, dann ist man gar nicht mehr so dolle verantwortlich für diese Songs und kann auch Hits schreiben, obwohl man schon einen Hit hatte, das macht einem dann nichts mehr aus. Und in Seattle hat er aufgenommen in einem Studio, das wohl auch ganz gut war für die LP, die jetzt rausgekommen ist am 12.09. unter dem Titel Dream Your Life Away. Before we talk a bit more, let's listen to another song of yours. Wir hören also nochmal ein Liedchen von Vance Joy, und zwar hören wir das Stückchen Riptide, den Hit, den ich gerade schon erwähnt hatte. Darüber reden wir dann auch gleich noch ein bisschen weiter. Es gibt noch eine Live-Performance von Vance und Tickets für die Show heute Abend im Postbahnhof. Vance Joy mit Riptide nochmal auf Lux FM. What a beautiful song. It's a hit. You can't deny it. James, you cannot deny it.
I'm not going to deny that. I definitely wouldn't be where I am without that song.
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been on this crazy kind of 2-year music journey without recording that song without a doubt.
And I don't think that it's a song anymore. I think it's a cat. Riptide has become a cat because the first life of Riptide was the original version that went around the world. People were singing along and it was a huge hit. Then all of a sudden there was a remix version of it that went around the world again. Everybody was singing along. It became a hit for the second time. And now Taylor Swift covered that song. So it's becoming a hit for the third time now. You have four more times left. Did you know that?
Four more?
Yeah, because the cat has seven lives.
Seven, okay.
And Riptide, I think, has seven lives too.
Okay.
It's going to come back.
Well, I wonder how old I'll be on the seventh life.
I don't know. And I wonder which...
Mid-40s.
In which form it's going to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't even... Like, God, 20 years' time, who knows?
Maybe we don't even know the format that people are going to buy it in 20 years.
I think so as well.
No, but how crazy is that Taylor Swift covered that song? Did you know how that did come up? How she chose the song?
I don't know. I mean, I thought I actually really liked her cover. I really kind of like it slowed down and with the piano. Like originally when I was writing the song, I used to play it on piano a little bit. So I kind of like seeing it played with the chords and kind of when it goes a bit slightly darker, maybe a bit more emotional.
Yeah. But minor chords maybe? I don't know how she did
it. Well, it's like, it's just, it's kind of maybe the when you play a minor chord on a piano, it is kind of maybe a bit more sad than on a ukulele, which is kind of a bright, happy instrument. But
minor chords on ukulele doesn't even make sense to me.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not on the usual repertoire of a uke. But I'm not exactly sure, but I was quite happy to see her playing it and enjoying it. It was really cool.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, for you and your career and for that song, it's a beautiful thing, and I really dig her version too. She's a beautiful singer and a good musician. You don't necessarily have to love her style or the rest of her records, but this version of your song is, I think, she's done a great job. What I've learned today is that Vance Joy actually was a character from a novel called Bliss by Peter Carey.
Yes.
Now, you told another interviewer that you liked the sound of that name, Vance Joy. It just sounds good, sticks in your head. But was there something about the character that inspired you as well in the book? What kind of character?
I think if the character was someone that like murdered kids or something, I wouldn't have used the name. But luckily, he was his character was he was a grandfather figure, and he's a storyteller, and he tells stories to all these like the kids in the family, and they gather around and he tells stories. So in that sense, I mean, there's some kind of I don't know. Like
there's a parallel and the original Vance Joy, which is that you're both storytellers.
Yeah, exactly. And so that makes sense for me. But I really, like you said, it was the sound of the name that got me.
And would you recommend the novel Bliss by Peter Carey for our listeners?
Absolutely. Highly recommend.
Yeah, okay.
It's bizarre plots and like you're saying about universes, he creates a universe of interesting characters, like almost like Tolkien creates Lord of the Rings. It's like he creates a world that's like, it's in our world. He bases it here, but it's totally...
Parallel universe.
Yeah, it's weird, cool, bizarre stuff.
Sounds interesting. Also noch eine kleine Buchempfehlung nebenbei von Vance Joy. Man sollte sich Peter Careys Roman Bliss mal reinziehen. Auch wenn man wissen will, wo der Vance Joy Bandname eigentlich herkommt. Der ist nämlich aus diesem Buch rausgeklaut. Another thing that I've learned today is that you studied law before you started your musical career. Is that something that helps? Do you check your contracts with a little bit of knowledge from back then?
I can kind of read a contract without being totally depressed by the language, but I think, I still defer to everyone on those because it's my passion was definitely not with law.
Yeah, but I mean, that's another thing that's interesting about your career, and it's like almost like an empowerment of musician kind of thing, that you're basically able to read through those things just a little bit, because... I've had the experience that you look at those things and you go like, I'm going to call my lawyer because I don't even know what you're talking about. So maybe that's a good thing that you're having the basics of law in the back of your head when you talk to those people.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a few good examples, I think, in Australia of musicians who really get, I think it's like they have a really good grip of their careers and run a lot of the things, I guess, through themselves or set up their own companies and stuff.
It's like the next step for a DIY career, right?
Yeah.
First you record your own music, you make your own videos, and then you study law and you check your own contract. I mean, that's the next step.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of some musicians that do that. I know that I couldn't do that. I just need to, I'll do my little bit and then... work within a team.
I mean, if you decided to go for the musical career and stop thinking about laws all the time, then maybe you should stick to that.
Yeah, exactly.
So you brought your acoustic guitar with you.
Yes.
Before we give away some tickets for tonight's show, would you want to play a song for us?
Yes, I would love to. Mm-hmm. The song I'm playing is Mess Is Mine.
Okay, just give me one more second for the compression part here. I need to get rid of the super hardcore compression, and that is... has happened now. Vance Joy, live auf Flux FM mit einer neuen Nummer, die da heißt Mess Is Mine.
Talking like we used to do. It was always me and you, shaping up and shipping out. Check me in and check me out. Do you lie walking in the rain? When you think of love, do you think of pain? You can tell me what you see. Well, I will choose what I believe. Well, hold on. Darling, this body is yours. This body is yours and mine. Well, hold on, my darling. This mess was yours. Now your mess is mine. Your mess is mine. See you in the marketplace, walking round at 8 a.m. I got 2 hours before my flight. Luck be on my side tonight. You're the reason that I feel so strong, the reason that I'm hanging on. You know you gave me. Well, did I give enough of mine? Well, hold on, darling. This body is yours. This body is yours and mine. Well, hold on, my darling. This mess was yours. Now your mess is mine. Your mess is mine. Bring me to your house and tell me sorry for the mess. Hey, I don't mind. You're talking in your sleep, out of time. Well, you still make sense to me. Your mess is mine.
Mit Mess Is Mine live auf Flux FM. Thank you for that beautiful version. And I like the little skip thing in the middle. Yeah. It was like it was a really special version.
It was a special. That doesn't happen. So that's unique.
Yeah,
unique
and that's what we want to have, actually. Thanks a lot. Tonight you're going to play with the band, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So people out there, if you want to see Vance Joy live on stage mit seiner Band, und zwar im Postbahnhof, dann ruft mich jetzt einfach an. 030 2000 9000 ist die Nummer. Zum Glück, wir haben ein paar Tickets, die wir euch verlosen dürfen. dürfen, hier zu liegen. 030 2000 9000 und wer durchkommt, der steht auf der Gästeliste für Vance Joy heute Abend im Postbahnhof. Thank you again, James.
My pleasure, Vincent. Thank you.
I hope you're going to come and visit us for a third time after this
interview.
Yeah,
I'd love to.
Okay, cool. So have fun at tonight's show. Conquer America. And have good fun. And come back as soon as possible.
Absolutely.
Okay, bye-bye, Vance. Thank you.